Strap yourself in and adjust your mirrors for maximum visibility. It's time for Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.
Good morning, Kirsten.
Good morning. Guten Morgen.
Yeah. Now, this morning, we are digging into German language hits. What sparked this for you? Why?
I know. You know what? I can't even remember what, but once I thought of it, because, you know, I usually look for genre lists and genre. This isn't a genre. And I just, like, clicked, like, God, why has there been so many? I guess I could look into it, but, you know, other languages, you know, Spanish languages and stuff. But it's just sort of a weird little funky niche thing that, you know, obviously we listen to Anglophone, you know, English language pop, and that circulates between English language countries, right? UK, USA, us, Australia. But, you know, and then we get, I guess, the occasional Latin song that sort of peeps in. But Germany is just such a weird little niche thing to pop in. And, man, there's been so many. I don't know if necessarily some of the younger people's eras, but things like 99 Luftballons,
yes.
People will remember.
Yep, that is like number one, right? That would have to be one of all time.
Actually, maybe this is the one that inspired me, was the Baba Ga song.
Baba Ga.
I think it was on TikTok. I think that's the one that inspired me. And, you know, German language is kind of fun. Oh, the other one we're not playing today, so I'm just, you know, is Rock Me Amadeus. And, Germany's got, they have a lot of bands, so not in German language, that have had big hits in English, like Milli Vanilli. The guys that sing Forever Young, Alphaville are German. Apparently the Mambo Number 5, Lou Bega guy, is actually German. And the greatest German composer of all time, Hans Zimmer.
Ah, yes, Hans Zimmer. We could have played some Hans Zimmer this morning, actually.
Well, but see, it's the language. We're doing the language.
Yeah,
thing,
true, actually.
German,
yeah, sorry.
But yeah, I could listen to Hans Zimmer, you know, just forever. But apparently in Germany, they're really into EDM. I don't know if there's an older band some people might remember as Kraftwerk.
Oh.
But yeah, they like metal, punk. They even have a disco scene. And they try to keep their folk music going. So, but anyway, I just thought it was funny, some of the German language songs that leak out into. So this first one, Peter Fox, 2008, Haus am See.
How did you find this?
Yeah.
Well, yeah, this one I had to look up because this wasn't one that I knew. And he seems like a really neat guy.
I quite like this song, Kirsten. That's why I picked it out.
Yeah.
The list you sent there, I was like, oh yeah, I like this.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a really cool guy. He's a member of another band called Seed, which is a reggae band and does sort of German hip hop stuff. And apparently, he's got a partially paralyzed face. I know that sounds bad, but they just say that's his signature look. Like, he's an interesting looking guy. And this song's a really positive song. It's like, I have 20 children, my woman is beautiful, I have a house by the lake. You know, just it's just a, yeah, it's a neat little song.
Would you say that this sits in the genre of Schlager music? The European popular music?
Yeah, it could. I haven't looked into it.
Schlager?
Based on Lager, yeah.
Apparently a musical style. Apparently that kind of is bubbling around these German language hits.
Bubbling around Lager, I get it.
Lager.
Now, one thing I learned, I've been to Germany a couple times, is that there's two kinds of Germans. There's the North, which are like the more serious, kind of clipped speaking, trains on time Germans. And then the South ones are the beer drinking, Papa, you know, big festivals having fun ones.
Oh.
Like there's two kinds. Oh, actually, I have another funny Germany story. So my surname is German. And so my dad's, you know, German.
Same,
someplace.
Actually. Mine is too.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, my great-great-grandfather is out of Berlin, of all places.
Oh, wow. So, you know, like, I don't know exactly my lineage, but my dad worked in the television industry in LA when I grew up, and he worked on the TV show Hogan's Heroes for 7 years.
Yes. Yes.
And so I grew up thinking my dad spoke German.
Okay.
Because he would just say dumb things from the show.
Yes.
Yeah, jawohl, yes. And I thought, you know, that he was really ethnically German, and I would say that in class, my father's German. It was just, he was just being a goof from the show. Because I wasn't really interested in the show when I was a kid, you know?
Yeah, like this little, it's just a nice little cruisy number. Nice,
yeah,
little...
it's awesome.
Okay.
Well, big contrast to our next one.
Where are we going next? Where are we going next?
Oh my gosh. Machine.
Ah, yes. I had to. We had to play some because they. Well, one of the headliners had a big day out, so I thought it makes sense that we play some Rammstein. Now, what can you give us some background on them?
Yeah, it's music made to release aggression, and actually, this is another genre name, NDH. Neue Deutsche Hardness. It's New German Hardness. It's the genre. I mean, that's the best genre name ever. New German Hardness. They're really brutally intense. And they do this New German Hardness, which is interesting. It's Germany and Austria. It's always in German, so that's sort of one of the rules. And it's metal plus keyboard synths and samples. And then when you think about it, you're like, that's right. You know, like a lot of metal doesn't do that. So this is metal with keyboards.
Those elements. Also probably playing some homage to, you know, Kraftwerk and stuff like that.
That's right. That's right. So it's brutal, but they're very anti-racism, anti-Nazi, and they try to sort of stay... apolitical, but there has been people inspired by it to do bad things. There was a shooting in the United States, a hostage situation in Russia, where people, you know, some young person, you know, the aggression becomes real. So instead of releasing aggression, they go into, you know, bad crimes. But they, yeah, and the video's rough as well. Also the song, Bill Bailey, the comedian guy, he's done a cover of it.
Of that?
Yeah.
I'd love to hear that. Well, how would you say German language popular music is influenced and been influenced by global trends?
Well, you know, they like some of these genres, you know, like, you know, like metal, and but you know, we've talked about metal stuff before. Metal's so the Northern European, like the Swedes and the Norwegians, have you know, such a big influence. It's practically not really a foreign style, is it? I mean, I guess punk UK is just down the road, but you know, they've got a lot of confluence of different people, tons of Americans there, you know, post war and post the wall.
I guess that is the next big thing, eh? And I guess we're kind of going to go in that direction with the next track we'll play after this.
Yeah.
But how, I mean,
yeah,
obviously political and historical events must just have such a huge bearing on Germany's music. I mean, because we've got the fall of the Berlin Wall and
One interesting thing that they've done, I don't know if people are still fighting to change it, is they've forbidden any Nazi symbols, Nazi literature, and, you know, pamphlets, books. And, you know, a lot of people are like, but if you want to be a true democracy, you got to have free speech. And they're like, no, no, there's just no need for that. We there's no way we can go there again. Although, of course, there are still small groups of, you know, people. But yeah, they just really put their foot down about that, and it's, you know, part of their recovery from, you know, such awful history. That, yeah, it's just absolutely forbidden. And yeah, so that's why this group sounds rough outside, but they're completely anti-Nazi. But then, yeah, to see some young people mishearing it, you know.
The text machine was expecting us to play 99 Red Balloons. They're like, everyone's like, I can feel it, it's gonna happen. I'm sorry, people, it's not gonna happen today.
In Germany, you know, they're very, you know, the way of apologizing for the Holocaust and memorializing, every kid who grows up in Germany has to go to, they do a school trip to one of the concentration camps, which are now called Holocaust memorials and museums. You know, they're just like, really, I guess, trying to do it right as far as how do you come back from something like this? And so they just make, you know, a huge effort and, you know, making, you know, like I said, all kids understand it and know about it. Really trying to stamp out anything that looks like Nazism might emerge again. You know, invested a lot of money into these sites and, you know, trying to, you know, make them very educational. And yeah, it's just really interesting observing how to handle something like that.
Yes, yeah. Very, very tricky situation to handle. Now, Kirsten, the next song. Here we go. Would we say a big political hit? Was it written by the CIA?
Gosh,
Do you know much about that? Did you look into it a little bit?
No, I didn't hear the CIA thing. I just thought it was just such a cheesy, way to approach the fall of the Berlin Wall.
Okay, I know it's probably a bit conspiracy, but there is some chatter on this song being apparently written by the CIA. I don't know.
Oh my gosh, that's hilarious.
I need to look into it, man.
That's right, if we could more conspiracy there. So this is 1990, Winds of Change by Scorpion. And they're, you know, a big German band. They have 11 albums.
This was off their 11th album, which I was surprising. I was like, wow, they're 11 albums deep by the time they did this song.
And this is the best-selling German single, not Love Balloons.
This is?
This one, yeah.
Oh, so this is like literally number one German language.
Yeah. And so they visited Russia during that time when, you know, after the Berlin Wall, when Russia was kind of making their shift. Big ships from the sort of Cold War, and so they were inspired, supposedly, or else they probably just met a CIA agent hanging out and said, hey, you want to write some lyrics for us? You know, so supposedly they were inspired by that. And here's the neat thing: the royalties from the song all go to a Russian children's hospital.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, we see if they're making enough money with their 11 other albums.
Yeah.
And you know, so it's sort of a big deal. They performed at various, like, Moscow Peace Festival events. They've been performing pro-Ukraine the last couple years.
Oh, they changed the lyrics, apparently, to when they do it live, I read, for this to reflect the situation in the Ukraine. Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I've been there with the Berlin Wall, both before and after. And, you know, after we were all collecting little pieces from it, because people had graffitied on the western side, really beautiful, all sorts of murals and graffitis. And, yeah, I think I have a Berlin Wall piece in my house. But it was such a weird, you know, what a weird phenomenon, you know? A wall and right in the middle of a city. And the problem was Berlin, which is such a big, important German city, especially artistically, creatively, was right in the middle of East Germany. So West Germany wanted to keep half the city. And so when you went there, you had to go through East Germany to get to that little half city chunk. Yeah, it was really, it's just such a bizarre situation.
This is a question I guess you kind of never really know the answer to, Kirsten, but what factors would contribute to a German language song becoming an international hit despite, you know, everyone, well, despite this part of the world, you know, being dominated by English and pop music?
Well, this one I think is possibly different than the others. The others, like sort of Du Hast or Babua or even Luftballons, I think it's more because it's just like nonsensey kind of music.
Yeah.
And it's easier for us to just like sing along. We don't know what we're saying. This one, I think it's was sort of the time and the politics and the meaning and the sentiment, you know, because even Du Hast, yeah, you know, we don't speak German, but we can repeat that. And actually what I didn't say with Du Hast is I hate or I have. They're playing on like the verb that sounds similar, but you know, so we can pick up on it and say it. But yeah, this one is probably different. This one is more like the meaning of it. But and they sing in English as well, half in English. You know, I'm looking into a lot for our research in our department around K-pop and stuff, and so they'll do little things like that, have, you know, half of the song in English or whatever to try to bring that more global reach into what they do. But, you know, the Germans for the most part don't care, but almost any band would also love to have a global hit. But they do have their own, you know, industry. And there's German language countries around the world, you know, thanks to colonization. So there's other places.
Is there anything linguistically or phonetically about the German language that make it suited to popular music?
It's got a lot of consonants and it sounds kind of clipped and sharp, so that probably does suit a bit. But what's interesting is English is actually a Germanic language, so ultimately our roots are with Germany, even though we've got so much like Spanish, you know, what you would call Latin or French words now on top of that. But apparently the roots of basic oldie
the
English,
old English, yes,
yeah, that's right, is got the same roots as German, so maybe, you know, there's stuff that we can hear, but yeah, I think some of the real vowels, Du Hast and da da da, you know, like, sorry, consonants, yeah, that it sounds good. And their accent, just amazing. It's so cool, you know.
Now, Dr. Kirsten Zemke, thank you so much for Traveling Tunes this morning.
You're welcome. Danke schön.
We'll wrap it up there this week and we'll check in with you next Friday, mate.
Okay. All right. Bye.
That was Traveling Tunes with Dr. Kirsten Zemke.